Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
What is the most dangerous room in the house?
Well, some say the bathroom. You know, it's wet and wild with slips and falls. A typical place to break your hip. And then there are drugs, too, plus toxic cleaners. Cabinets full of them. Then there's the kitchen. With fire and flames, really hot stuff like boiling oil and water, knives and saws, blades spinning at high speeds, and alcohol, too. A really bad mashup. And if your little pinkies get in the way of something sharp, well, remember, the blade doesn't have a conscience. It does not care what it cuts. And if you aren't careful, you might be a candidate for our next guest's services and specialties. He is Dr. Keith Raskin, a hand surgeon and clinical associate professor of orthopedic surgery at the New York University School of Medicine and a member of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. And Dr. Raskin estimates that he has treated about a half dozen injuries related to the newest kitchen gadget. Ta-da! The immersion blender. And much of that trauma involves severed nerves and tendons. Dr. Raskin, welcome to Body Language.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Something tells me this show may have a high yuck factor because cuts are very, very frightening things. I found you about a week ago in the New York Times commenting on the problems that people get themselves into with immersion blenders. You say it's gained popularity with smoothies and that many of the injuries that you see involve severed nerves and tendons. What is going on, doctor, and how do people manage to cut themselves with these blenders?
Well, I think there are several problems with these type of injuries, and it's common not just for the immersion blenders, but anything that you would use that's sharp and requires power in the kitchen. And the first issue is realizing that once the appliance is plugged in, it is, in essence, it's alive. I mean, it's ready to go whether or not you think it's ready to go or not. And what will happen is at times a button may be inadvertently pushed or not shut off completely, and that's when the surprise happens when you're out of position. So the most important factor, I think, is for people to get familiar with the appliance prior to using it in what the application is for. And remember that it's very simple process that if you keep in mind that it's alive and ready to go from the minute it's plugged in, well, the reverse is also true. And when it's unplugged, it's in essence a much safer instrument to clean. And that seems to be the biggest
that's really
problem.
The key, isn't it? One of the case histories mentioned in the Times article entitled Bandages Not Included, a Brendan Fitzgerald, a screenwriter who had a run-in with an immersion blender. She said, when you hold the thing, it's so trigger happy. Well, that's probably true. And certainly unplugging the device before you reach in there to, you know, clean butter or cheese or whatever out of the blades is a good idea. However, there's another group of them that are cordless. And
Correct.
You can't unplug them because the battery is literally built in to keep it safe from water. I mean, that's really a consideration. The advice seems to be to use a brush. You know, as a rule, don't put your fingers in next to the blade. Is that pretty good advice?
Boy, that's terrific advice. And again, I think that if you could just have enough foresight to think what would happen if, whenever you're in the kitchen or dealing with an appliance, what would happen if this was to drop? What would happen if this suddenly kicked on? And you would think, gosh, my fingers are next to something so sharp that by the time you were injured with one of the blades, you probably would be injured at least two or three more times before your reflex would allow you to pull your finger away. So some of these sharp blenders that can injure your finger, the problem is the revolutions are so quick that just even the second it gets hit, it's already been hit two or three times.
Well, that's interesting. The immersion blender has essentially, to some extent, replaced the use of a food processor or blender. Now, no one in their right mind would consciously put their hand inside a blender or a food processor and inadvertently turn it on, but there's something so innocuous about the immersion blender that people get themselves into trouble. You know, the interesting thing is that there are analogies to devices like table saws, for example. No one would consciously, or at least deliberately, put their finger into a blade. Instead, they would use a pusher, a standoff device, to push the material through the blade and keep their fingers out of the way. I think folks in the kitchen feel that they're, you know, that they're in a relatively safe place in a controlled environment. Is that part of the issue?
That's 100% correct. And the reason, in part, why the immersion blender has gained popularity is exactly what you're saying. It seems less threatening. It certainly seems easier to clean. You don't have a large bowl to clean after you've made your salad or a smoothie.
Right. And yes, a smoothie especially.
Correct. And it kind of puts you a little bit, lulls you to sleep and thinking, well, this is a simple device. And now the beauty of the immersion blender is that it's to be used with one hand, and that allows you the freedom of holding the bowl or holding the a tumbler or whatever you're going to make your drink or your mix in, and that allows you the freedom of extra mobility in the kitchen. And the problem with that is that then it again makes you feel as if this is a safe instrument or a stick that as soon as you let go will shut off and you'll be perfectly safe.
Well, a personal injury lawyer representing a plaintiff in a suit against a manufacturer said it's a dangerous product, too easy to turn on and unintentionally, and he compared the immersion blender to a power lawnmower. It's probably not that far off. However, let's move on to avocados.
You mentioned
in the New York Times article that you've seen a spike in old-fashioned knife injuries incurred while pitting avocados. The professionals take a cleaver, sink it into the pit, and give it a quarter turn, and presto, it comes out. Now, don't try this at home, kids. What goes wrong, doctor?
Well, it's a problem of, again, being familiar with removing the pit from the avocado.
Well, I've been doing this for 30 years.
Well, it's usually one of those two issues. So one is either the relatively new or amateur chef who's trying it for the first time and then realizes the difficulty involved, or number two, it is the chef who's been doing it for 30 years and he's so good at doing it that he's able to multitask, and at his time in the kitchen he may have four or five different things going on.
Exactly.
Quickly run over to the avocado, split it open, and then send a knife, you know, delicately right through his hand because he missed the pit.
Now it is so counterintuitive to do this, to put the avocado in the palm of your hand and then take a 12-inch carbon steel knife or maybe even a 6-inch Chinese cleaver and whack it in there. I mean, that's sort of my definition of madness. I put the avocado on the table, take a short 4-inch knife with a serrated blade, put it on top of the pit with my hand coving that, and rock it back and forth very, very gently. It sinks in, and presto, the pit comes out. There are YouTube videos that advocate the other technique that are very frightening to watch.
Correct. And, you know, we went through this years ago when I was seeing a bagel laceration more frequently.
Bagel thumb or bagel finger.
Sure, and you know, people would hold the bagel, cradle it with their non-dominant hand, take the knife and start sawing back and forth until they got through it, and then usually a point of time, if it was too firm, it would slip through and then cut one, if not multiple, fingers.
The idea is to keep your hand above the blade. That seems
correct.
Like pretty sensible advice. Dr. Keith Raskin is a hand surgeon and clinical associate professor of orthopedic surgery at the New York University School of Medicine. Doctor, how can people learn more about your work and even NYU?
Sure. Well, they can visit my website at keithraskinmd.com, and it's K-E-I-T-H. All one word, last name is Raskin, R-A-S, like in Sam, K-I-N-M-D.com.
Dr. Raskin, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Super, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
I'm Christopher Springman, and you are listening to Radio MD.